Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Today's a birthday of Facebook. We're going to be talking today not only about the birthday of Facebook, which now has 150 million participants. We're going to talk about the moral and cultural impact of social networking. And there is no doubt that this has become one of the major phenomena of the age. As a matter of fact, there isn't an hour that goes by, it seems, in my waking day, someone doesn't say, hey, I saw this in terms of, I saw you say this, did you see this in terms of a social networking site? And, you know, it used to be that it was a matter of teenagers and young adults only. But now you've got grandmothers and grandfathers, you've got aunts and uncles, you've got corporations involved in social networking, Burger King, the king himself. An advertising character has a Facebook page. This is of concern, of course, to parents, to educators, colleges and universities and high schools are trying to figure out how to use this. Churches and youth groups and pastors are trying to decide how to use this. We're going to be talking today about the future of social networking, not so much in terms of the technology, that's not my field, but rather in terms of what it means and how we should think of it in moral terms, in terms of the cultural impact of something as powerful as social networking. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, to review some issues in the news, the Washington Post is out with an interesting article. The headline is, Obama tries to appease both sides of abortion debate. Rob Stein of the Washington Post wrote the article. The lead is very interesting. It says, President Obama is trying to blunt the edge of perhaps the sharpest, most divisive wedge issue in the country, which is abortion. Let me just stop there for a moment and say that's very interesting. First of all, it is interesting that abortion is here identified as perhaps the sharpest, most divisive wedge issue in the country. I would say that's now rivaled by the issue of same-sex marriage. So generally, I think both of these are of about the same volatility now. But of course, abortion is a matter of life and death, and it is the longest protracted issue other than slavery in this nation's history in terms of a great moral conflict. A senior White House aide familiar with Obama's thinking, and that's as the Washington Post describes this aide, said, it's consistent with who he is and what he's articulated in a number of different areas. How can we apply common sense, common ground approaches to difficult problems so that we can move the ball forward, so that we can start to change the dialogue away from just those things we disagree on to those areas where we do agree? Interesting things here, and this is where it gets more interesting. Quoted in the articles, Joel C. Hunter, pastor of the Evangelical Northland Church near Orlando, and Joel Hunter is one of those who was very clearly a supporter of Barack Obama, and he claims to identifies himself as pro-life, but he said just in terms of the entire set and constellation of issues, he felt that he should best support Barack Obama as president. But now he says, I'm pro-life. I'm reading his statement verbatim. I'm pro-life. I hate abortion. But this administration is trying to be very sensitive. They're trying to approach things in the least inflammatory, least contentious way so we can work together and have a more nuanced approach. End quote. Now, I want you to think about this with me, and I want to do this with all the charity I can muster. I want you to think about two statements and see if we can make them commensurate. On the one hand, abortion is the taking of an innocent human life and is, by definition, a matter of life and death. And on the other hand, a statement that this administration is trying to be very sensitive, trying to approach things in the least inflammatory, least contentious way so we can work together and have a more nuanced approach. You see, that's where I have a great problem. I have a great problem with someone who says, I believe that abortion is a matter of life and death, and so I'm looking for sensitivity. I'm looking for nuance. Folks, I'm just going to speak to you as honestly as I can. I want a civil conversation. I want us to be sensitive to each other's needs and perceptions and all the rest. But all of that has to give way to the fact that it is a matter of life and death. And if we miss that, if we construe this as a matter of sensitivity, and I saw a quote attributed to Jim Wallace, you know, saying that President Obama should be thanked for delaying his reversal of the Mexico City policy to avoid the anniversary of Roe v. Wade because it was a sensitive thing. You know, in the grand scale of moral concerns, where in the world does sensitivity rank? It cannot rank as a very high issue. And I think I understand what the president is trying to do. He wants a situation in which he can divide the question and find some kind of area of agreement. And I want to say, you know, hats off to him when that comes to the economy. Hats off to him. Congratulations, President Obama. When you do that on the economy, you do that on trade issues and immigration, you do that on the stimulus package, you do that on other things, and you're going to have me congratulate you for whatever that's worth. I think that is where it is entirely appropriate to try to reach that kind of common ground. But on an issue like abortion, yes, I agree. We can all work towards reducing abortion. But I can't merely work towards reducing abortion. That's the difference. If finding common ground means we're supposed to agree that we're going to take steps, economic, cultural, moral, persuasive, whatever, to reduce abortions, I'm all in it to reduce abortions. But I cannot stop there. I cannot act as if I want to stop there. I cannot act as if that is enough. I cannot act as if every single abortion is not a matter of life and death. A couple other quotes here. David P. Gushy, professor of Christian ethics at Mercer University in Georgia, said the president could capture the imagination of the American people and do a lot to ease the culture wars on this issue. He could package together some of these initiatives to tackle the demand side of abortion. Well, again, I am willing... In fact, I think I'm morally obligated to work towards any reduction of abortions. If you are, for instance, working in a crisis pregnancy center, you're working for the reduction of abortions. But no one I know who gives heart and soul and time and money to support a crisis pregnancy center is merely trying to reduce abortions or be happy merely with the reduction of abortions. My friend and colleague Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, is quoted in this article. He said, "For me, it's the difference between killing you in broad daylight and me taking you out and killing you behind the barn." Well, that's a folksy way of getting at what's at stake here. Sensitivity. How do you murder sensitively? How do you forfeit an innocent human life with sensitivity? Or to use the other word used here, nuance. What kind of nuance are you looking for? I'm really looking at this and trying to be fair and trying to be honest, and I just have to say that I am not disappointed. I am not disappointed in evangelicals who say we need to work towards common ground and reduce abortions where they can be reduced. I am not disappointed in that. I am disappointed when evangelicals who say they're pro-life act as if sensitivity and nuance should be our concerns in dealing with abortion. And I would be opposed with every fiber of my being to those who say, that's enough. Or we can enter into a period, say, of 4 or 8 years in which that's enough. And when that is coupled with statements from so many that they have simply worn weary of thinking that Roe v. Wade can be reversed and all the rest, well, the story ends with a statement that indicates that those who have supported President Obama in this, while claiming to be pro-life and perhaps even believing themselves to be pro-life, and for that matter, perhaps being pro-life, if this president signs into law the Freedom of Choice Act on abortion, he's going to saw off the limb they have crawled out on. And that will be a tragedy for all concerned, far more a tragedy for the unborn than for those who are vulnerable because of their support of this president. We'll be interested to see how that comes about. But this is where we now face one of the crucial deciding issues in this country. And when the Washington Post runs an article like this, it's not just of minor significance. It is of major significance. The Guardian in the United Kingdom and Great Britain is out with a story having to do with the atheist bus ads. The bus ads having to do with, for instance, the Richard Dawkins supported effort to say there's probably no God, now get on with your life. Several Christian groups have tried to come up with their own advertisements to counter this. They're saying such things as, there definitely is a God, so join the Christian party and enjoy your life. Or, The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, taken, of course, in Psalm 53:1. You know, I just want to suggest that the way to counter an atheist argument is by making very clear that the atheist argument is ridiculous on its face. When you make an argument that there probably is no God, that by definition leaves the suggestion that there just might be. You know, I don't think a war of the bus ads is probably the best way to look at this, but, you know, we have the argument that reaches the heart of human beings who know in their heart that there is a God. I don't think in the end, by the way, on an issue of the existence or non-existence of God, too many people are going to be persuaded by a fleeting glance at an ad on the side of a bus. Who knows? Maybe somebody. Back to talk about the 5th anniversary of Facebook and social networking on the Albert Miller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Moeller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Miller Program. While we're talking about social media on the 5th anniversary of Facebook, let me tell you how you can reach us by social media and become a part of the ongoing conversation online. We are on Twitter right now. It's Moeller Radio at Twitter. And you can sign on as a follower, and we've got a discussion thread going on. I'd love to have you look at it and see it. Join it. Become a follower there at Moeller Radio on Twitter. Twitter being even newer than Facebook, a dynamic new social media outlet. And then you can go to Facebook as well, where you will find the page for the Albert Moeller Program. And I have to extend real appreciation to a listener in this program who set up that page and did so for us. And we are very glad to have it and glad to have an opportunity to invite you. You can just go to Facebook, put in the search engine, the Albert Moeller Program, and it will come up. And you'll see there where we're feeding information even during the program, and you can feed it right back to us. Then we've also got, just in terms of the ability to track this kind of thing, you also can go to albertmoeller.com and just go to the Albert Moeller Program, and you'll see buttons you can hit that will take you directly to the site, so you don't even have to use search engines. But we'll be really, really glad to hear from you. We're talking about Facebook, 5th anniversary today, and that is very, very interesting in and of itself, because Facebook's become such a big issue, it's hard to imagine that it's only 5 years old, but it is. And as a matter of fact, when you're talking about Facebook, you're talking about something that was started by a young man who was a Harvard student who basically came up with it on his own. And now you're looking at 150 million users of Facebook. It was Mark Zuckerberg who started it while he was a student at Harvard. And when it says, by the way, that the website currently has more than 150 active users worldwide, that is that's a figure that is growing literally every day. I've been on Facebook, and actually I owe it to my family, my daughter, Katie, for helping me to get on Facebook. And it's her generation that basically gave the great impetus to this, the college-age generation. But I have found it to be really, really helpful in ministry and just, in fact, in terms of keeping up with people. I'd love to know what you think. But what are the downsides of this? Well, you know, what do we think about parental controls for children? What do we think about the dangers that are inherent in any kind of technology, especially communications technology? And what do we think about how to use it for the glory of God? Even for Great Commission Ministry. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Athens, Georgia. Micah is listening on XM170. What do you think, Micah?
Yes, Dr. Moeller. I just wanted to say really quick that I feel that Facebook is a great tool, can be a great tool, if it's used correctly for ministry, as you were saying, especially in the sense of discipleship and maybe even accountability and I think it would be great to see that used as a way for guys who are in ministry to be able to find, you know, potential, areas for ministry, and being able to know a church and that church know them before they just go for before a pastor search committee just kind of, out of the blue, as so many guys do oftentimes. So.
Okay, Micah, let me ask you a question. Are you on Facebook?
I am. That's actually how I found out that you were going to be talking about that today.
Oh, that's great. How long have you been on Facebook? Are you a long-standing user or fairly new?
I would say I'm fairly new, maybe a year and a half, almost 2 years, I guess.
Okay, tell me, as you think about using Facebook, are you afraid? This is just one of the issues that you hear out there talked about with social media. Are you afraid that for some people this could become a replacement for real face-to-face kinds of contacts and conversations?
I do. I can see how, and even among Christian friends, some people can make that almost their church and get encouragement and counsel from their Facebook friends. And so I think that it has to be a tool, but it can't be a replacement for, the face-to-face fellowship that we should be having.
I think that's a great word. Really appreciate your call, Micah. And I think Micah's word there is one that that really I resonate with in terms of the potential danger here. And let me say, I think you see this. I had a parent tell me not long ago, said, my kid used to be completely incommunicado. Now he's in communication all the time. It's just not with me. He comes in the door, goes in his room, and fires up his computer, and he's talking to everybody on Facebook or on MySpace or on Twitter. And let me tell you, that is one of the big issues I think parents ought to consider. I do not believe, and I'm going to say this emphatically, and I'm going to infuriate a lot of people out there who aren't going to like this, but I emphatically believe that as a parent, you ought to have access to, management of, and control over your child or teenager's access to social media. You better know what's being said on there. You better know what's going on there, because let me tell you, if you're on there much at all, you're going to know, yes, it's a great opportunity to be in touch with people and to really understand more about people and to keep in touch with people and all that. But boy, it comes with a downside too. And if you don't believe it, just look at some of these Facebook pages. We're looking at a generation, by the way, of many teenagers and college students who are going to ruin their prospects for gainful employment by the stuff they are posting on their Facebook pages. And it's just as simple as that. All right, let's go to Ron, calling from Riverside, California, listening on the World Wide Web. What are you thinking, Ron?
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Mueller. Facebook is a great tool. It's not that it could be a great tool. It is a great tool to, for me as a Christian, because I have been able to socially connect with friends all over the world that I've had some kind of affiliation with. You happen to be one of them, and a host of people from Southern and in the Southern Baptist life and circle. And a friend of mine down in Orange County has a network of house churches, started a house church with Facebook by putting it out there as an event, and people have responded to it, and he has a viable house church going, which was a great way to do that, and plans to continue to do that. It's allowed me to reconnect with people from the past who I influenced, a number of guys from high school and college who knew me, and I was able to witness to them. Some of them I found out have come to Christ as a result of that. I didn't know it, but along the way somebody else watered, and I was able to hear the great news that they have now are followers of Christ. And certainly, I get one last thing, and I'll hang up because I know you got a lot of callers. I get somebody posting something to me saying, "Do I know you?" And my question to them, or my response to them, is, "You may not know me personally, but you know somebody I may know. But I think you want to get to know me because it'll be a great conversation. And so, if you want to, then go ahead and add me to your friends." And so, I've gained over 1,000 followers. Friends, not followers. I'm on Twitter as well. Those are followers. But this has been a great tool for me to share some things as an older, mature Christian with those younger Christians that you're talking about, or people on there that need to be careful what they say.
Yeah.
And to be courteous. There is an etiquette to Facebook that a lot of people need to realize and use to make it a more effective tool.
We're going into a break, but I'm going to ask you a question, Ron, that I'm going to ask every caller, and that is, what do you see as the downside?
Too much time on it. It's like anything else. It can become an idol. It can waste your time. I think you need to discipline yourself and limit it to it. It's like answering emails. Do it once a day and leave it at that.
Wow, answering emails once a day. That sounds like a wonderful, wonderful plan. Let me tell you what, by the way, Facebook makes me look better than I am because it reminds me of birthdays, which I would never, ever remember. That alone has been a nice little feature for me. I'm prone to forget such things. Give me a call and tell me what you think, what you experience. A lot of different parents, students, others dealing with this. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Youth pastors, youth ministers, I'd love to hear from you. 877-893-TALK. We'll be right back on the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about the fifth anniversary of Facebook, now over 150 million users, intergenerational now, cross-generational. You're talking about everyone from very young people. I think you're supposed to be 16 to be able to sign on by policy. But now you've got grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, you've got corporations, you've got cartoon characters who have faces and pages on Facebook. We'd love to have you join the social networking revolution with the Albert Mohler Program. You can just go to Twitter, find Mohler Radio and get on, and you can sign on, follow, and you'll find the discussion thread there. And at Facebook, there is now the page we want to direct you to, the Albert Mohler Program. Put your search engine, or just go to albertmohler.com, the radio program, and you'll see a direct link there. Now, one of the things I want to do, even as we're waiting for calls, and we've got some good ones on the line at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Before we go to some of those calls, I want to tell you what I'm hearing on Facebook today. And just at my page, hearing things, some very interesting comments here. Some people saying, look, it's great gain because you can communicate with people you don't see on a daily basis. And you can do it fast. It's not like you have to call someone. You can just you kind of keep up. And I think, by the way, that is a great point. You can keep up with people without having to call them or interrupt them, and you just get their status updates and kind of know what they're doing and how they're doing. You also have some things that I got by Facebook, people saying that needs to be used in moderation. Someone pointing out, hey, this is great because I'm reconnecting with people that I knew in high school over 30 years ago. Boy, those of us who were in that 30-year club, that's a long time ago. Just in the last week or so, I've heard from some of the people in my home church I haven't seen in a long time who had a big influence on my life when I was a teenager. And I really love reconnecting with people just that way. Over at Twitter.com, at the Mohler Radio site, had some good responses. One who wrote back and saying there's greater freedom to say things you'd never dream of saying face-to-face. Now, that also is very interesting. You know, is it the case that people will now use this to say things they wouldn't and shouldn't say face-to-face? Very interesting. You know, the whole environment, the whole world of social networking is a world in which you could avoid face-to-face conversation. I think that's one of the great dangers. On the other hand, it enables you to be in touch with people you would never see face-to-face on a daily basis. Maybe rarely, if at all. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Sean's listening on WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky. Sean, what do you think?
Good evening, sir. It's a great privilege to be on your radio show and to have read some of your publications.
Well, thank you.
And I believe that Facebook has been helpful and also good in the sense that it has helped Christians come to like you more, and people like Joshua Harris and Mark Dever, who are also my friends on Facebook, come to like you more as they see a more personal level of your life on Facebook. And I think as a newer generation of Christians are rising, that it speaks volumes to us that influential men of the faith like you all do take a part in our younger, cool techniques.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Sean. Let me tell you, it's been a learning experience for me, and I'm not as good as I look on Facebook, because thankfully I've got a daughter and son who are both teenagers and who have helped me. And to get up, Katie showed me how to load photographs and all the rest. But it's really become fun, and I really found that I think it's a great way to connect. And I'm highly honored that you would you'd sign up on Facebook, and I could get to be a part of your life and you a part of mine, just at that level. Understanding that doesn't replace what we always would have the ambition to have, which is a face-to-face conversation. But, boy, I really appreciate it. Sean, I'm going to do the same thing with you I've done with every other caller. What do you see as the downside? You know, what do you fear about Facebook and, from a Christian perspective, the social networking revolution?
Well, I do, you know, agree with all the points that many people have been making, that there can always be the problem of idolizing or an addicting nature of the network. I know some of my friends that can't stay without it and thinks it's surprising when they are able to stay off it for a day. And it can get really addicting and can replace genuine face-to-face, person-to-person relationships, which can be a danger when it comes to the future, as one of your articles discusses about the new era of human interactions in the future, in the 21st century.
Appreciate that so much, Sean, and thanks for calling, and your call could be next. We'd love to hear from you. Just give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You can also go to Twitter.com, look for Mueller Radio. Facebook, look for the Albert Mueller Program. We'll be back in just a moment with more.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Fascinating stuff we're talking about. Social networking is a moral and cultural issue from a Christian perspective. Here on the 150 user mark for Facebook, and more importantly, its fifth anniversary today. 5 years ago, Facebook did not exist. And it just exploded. And it's like so many of the things that have appeared just in recent years. Not too long ago, as a matter, I think, of basically of just about the middle of last year, the iPod was 5 years old. Just imagine how now customary it is to see someone with those white wires dangling from his or her ears. Facebook, well, it has become a massive phenomenon. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We had great points that have been made. Pros and cons, both. 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Greenville, South Carolina, where Isaac is following on Facebook. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, Dr. Mueller, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Glad to hear from you.
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you today. I'm grateful to be your Facebook friend and also follow you on Twitter.
Appreciate that. Thanks for signing
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to make a comment just to affirm what you're saying, Dr. Mueller. I think one of the things that we need to do in social media from a Christian perspective and a cultural engagement perspective is to understand the importance of once you make a one-dimensional relationship online, Isn't it good that you take it to the next level and make it a three-dimensional relationship in the sense that you might take somebody for coffee or breakfast or take them for lunch and develop a real relationship with them then that you might be able to win them to Christ and share more about the gospel?
You know, I think that's a very, very good point. And I want to ask you, as you're thinking about that, Isaac, you know, that seems to work really, really well in theory. With someone who signed on with you from say the region where you live, how do you think that might work just in terms of evangelism and Great Commission concern with someone who may be thousands and thousands of miles away?
Well, you know, I've been able to engage a lot of people, Dr. Mueller, online from other countries. In fact, even countries like India, where the gospel is so desperately needed there. And one of the things that I try to do is anytime I see them pop up with a chat request or something like that, is just to be mindful. This is an opportunity to be intentional about our biblical ministry and to respond to their questions and their comments and to do it in love. And sometimes people from other cultures can actually be a little bit antagonistic toward the gospel. But if you hear their concern and then respond biblically using scripture and again in love, we could be like Paul and do all things that we might win, even just one, to the gospel.
I really appreciate your call and your point, Isaac. You know, another thing I think of there is the fact that the social media, just as a form of communications technology, can get where a lot of people can't go physically. I mean, even given legal and visa kind of diplomatic problems where countries simply would say, you can't come in. But I'm thinking about China and other places where there's just this huge impact on the Internet that is literally breaking down a dictatorial wall that, you know, try as they will, the Chinese authorities aren't going to be able to keep all this out. Thanks so much for your call, Isaac. Great, great commission point there. Let's go to Joe. Let's go on WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I think there's a lot of great things about Facebook, but my issue with it, I'm in my mid-30s, and most of my friends have young children, and I see their pictures on their Facebook pages and, you know, enough information that people could identify who they are.
Oh, we just lost Joe. See, there's the limit of the old communications. We lost her on phone, but boy, we got her point. Joe, thank you so much for calling. And that leads me to a word I want to offer emphatically for parents. I gave the word earlier that I really hope that parents are active and faithful and effective and vigilant in managing and monitoring and supervising the social media interactions of their children and teenagers. But Joe raises a very important point, which is that sexual predators, those who would mean ill and evil to our children, can use social networking media in order to find them. And children have seemingly a native trust and a lack of discernment and a lack of the kind of protective impulse they should have. It's another reason why parents need to supervise and monitor. But here is something I would offer as a word of very clear advice. On Facebook, for instance, or at MySpace, I would be very, very clear that children cannot friend someone that the parents do not know. That may sound very exclusive, but if it's a peer in school, then you know, it ought to be that the parent knows at least who that is. If it's a, you know, a cousin, an aunt and uncle, well, obviously that's going to be just fine. But if the parent does not know who the person is, and the child has no plausible way of explaining who it is, then don't allow the friend. Because Joe's exactly right. There are people who can just target and go at this, and there's a lot of information. And for instance, I had a young person, very young, it turns out, give me a friend request on Facebook. I happened to hit it, and just as a matter of curiosity, I went to it, and this child, who's, you know, say 12 or so years old, and I'm not even sure it fits the policy of the company that they are there, but anyway, there was a cell phone number and address and all the rest, and I thought, you know, that is just not wise. That is just not wise. And you just have to wonder, the parent out there, you know, kids, you know, the social urge, the social networking phenomenon is so attractive. There are kids who will violate the policies. There are kids who will say they're older than they are. There are kids who will say things on Facebook thinking mom and dad will never see, and mom and dad, you better see. And not only that, I have found in terms of monitoring my own son's Facebook that sometimes, you know, I don't have to worry about what he's going to say. I do have to worry about what others are going to say that'll get posted on his page. And I'm shocked sometimes by some of the people I know, some of the kids I know who will say things that that shock me. And I know their parents just aren't watching carefully. This has been a great conversation, and it's not over. There's still time for you to call 877-893-8255. There's still time for you to go to twitter.com, sign up to follow Mueller Radio. Go to Facebook and look for the Albert Mueller Program. I really, really think we're onto something here in terms of thinking about the pros and the cons of social networking and Facebook. We're not talking about a small mission field here, folks. We're talking about 150 million users in the United States. And we're talking about an explosion. I have a news release right here in my hands saying that Facebook is looking forward to expanding the number of possible friends to as many as 100,000, up from the 5,000 that are there now. You know, you're talking about something that has a very clear beginning 5 years ago, but where it goes, well, I don't think anyone actually knows. Back with more on the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program, fifth anniversary of Facebook. Lots to talk about. Great calls, great points made by visitors to Facebook, those who signed up also at Twitter and elsewhere. It's great to hear from you folks, and we're going to take these last few minutes to get in as many calls as possible. Let's go to Colorado Springs. Chris is on the line. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, sir. I'm a youth pastor for my church, and what's funny is teenagers are very livid when they don't know you're watching, and we use the MySpace and Facebook to kind of keep tabs on what they're doing and what they're saying, and it's interesting to see what the life is behind it, and a lot of our parents are on there with us, kind of a spying kind of way, I guess.
Well, let's just call it honest spying, all right, Chris? Let's just say, we'll just tell them right up front, hey, we're going to be looking at your page, so you're not going to see us looking, you're just going to know we're there. And I think it's great, by the way. I think if I were doing what you're doing as a youth pastor, and I did that years ago, boy, I would see Facebook as a tremendous friend. Like I say, if nothing else, just remind me of birthdays and contacts and things like that, the way you can you write people immediately. And let me tell you this, you're not sure they're going to answer their phone or ever look at snail mail. You do know they're going to be checking Facebook several times a day, by and large. And you can get at them. Chris, God bless you. Give them the word. Give them the gospel. And, yeah, keep up with them on Facebook. Keep an eye on them. That's a great pastoral word. Let's go to Scott calling from South Carolina, listening to XM170. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. I'm calling because of an update that I got from you on Facebook on my BlackBerry. I was a traveling salesman, and I find it keeps me very well connected with friends and family from around the country, and it basically keeps me from having the monotonous life that I have on the road.
That is a great word, Scott. So you're able to keep in touch with your family. Do you have kids who are on Facebook?
I have. No, my kids are 8 and 4, so I don't keep them on Facebook at this point.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear you don't have an 8 and a 4-year-old in there. But through mom, you can keep in touch and other family members as well. That's phenomenal. Let me tell you just one other social networking technology. I was just in Turkey, and I had the most amazing thing. My family got me up on Skype before I left, and I was able to use this remarkable video feed, conversation back and forth. So in real time, I was sitting in Istanbul, Turkey, talking to all three of my family members who were at home, and I was able to give them a tour of what it looked like outside my hotel room just by sticking my laptop out the window and looking around. I made them a little motion sick, but nonetheless, you know, it's just an amazing thing. And I would never have thought, even just a matter of a couple of years ago, that such a technology could be possible. But folks, let's remember, from a Christian perspective, we always need to look at technology not only in terms of the gifts that it brings, but also the responsibility that comes with it. And so parents, if you don't hear anything else, please give careful attention to that. I'll be posting tonight an article overnight on some suggestions about using social networking to the glory of God. You might find the article helpful. I'd encourage you to go there to albertmuller.com, and I'll meet you tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation, special program from Jacksonville, Florida.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmuller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmuller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.